Moses and the people of God. And we're just going to be hearing a reading. This is quite a long reading, which is Exodus 16. And it's about the manna and the quail. And Paul Brennan is going to read that for us. Are you there, Paul?
I am.
Yeah.
Exodus 16. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat round pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who had gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered what he needed. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as he needed. And when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning." So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. "Eat it today," Moses said, "because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any." Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. This is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the desert when I brought you out of Egypt." So Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it, then place it before the Lord to be kept for the generations to come." As the Lord commanded Moses, Aaron put the manna in front of the testimony that it might be kept. The Israelites ate manna for 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. An omer is 1/10 of an ephah.
Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. And Lord, we just pray for Chung as she comes to bring your word to us now. Lord, would you just release that which you've given to her to us, Lord, that we may be fed, that we may be encouraged, that we may be challenged, that we may be strengthened, that we may be inspired to look to you and to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Chung, welcome.
Good morning. I start with a short prayer in Korean and English. 하나님 아버지, 경배합니다. 예수님, 사랑합니다. 성령님, 이 시간 우리와 함께하여 주시옵소서. We praise you, God Father. We love you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, be with us today and now, fully with us. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. By reading scripture, we know that the God's people were on a journey to a land they would call their very own. God promised that them that they would have their own land, and this become known as the Promised Land. By reading today's story is a good example of how God taught his people. In the process of doing so, just as our parents do, God employed the discipline through education. At the same time, we should also realize that disobedience to God's words brought swift punishment and destruction somehow. When you consider the work of God, we can see time and time again that he uses and loves certain patterns. And we ourselves can notice our wrongdoing patterns before God as well. Then let's see the patterns. What kind of patterns are present in today's scripture? Firstly, we can see that we doubt and distrust God's presence. After more than a month, the people of God arrived in a place called the Desert of Sin and made a camp there. We can assume that the food was scarce and that the people had begun to doubt God's care and guidance. They complained to Moses and his brother Aaron. And sadly, they even told Moses that their lives were much better back in Egypt as slaves. They began remembering only the food that they ate and forgot about the way Pharaoh treated them so badly. The fear of tomorrow without food overcame them. But God promises and he performs the miracles. God never forgot his chosen people. God told Moses that the food was about to rain down out of heaven. As Moses and the people looked out into the desert, they saw a large cloud, and they knew that the glory of God was in the cloud. And God did just as he said he would. Every evening, a great flock of quail would fly into the camp, and the people would gather them for food. And in the morning, when the people woke up, the little white flake covered over the ground, and the people call that manna. So we received God's miracle and somehow we lived again. Each day they gathered the manna and took it home to make a bread. But God told the people to gather only enough manna to feed their family and not sway to excess. God wanted them to do exactly as he said and remember he would unfailingly take care of them. So God commands us and tried to complete us somehow. God also told the people to gather manna, extra manna, the day before the Sabbath and prepare bread to eat on the Sabbath day. His boundaries were not designed to restrict our freedom, but rather enable our freedom. Again, that we forgot God and we fall into our own way. But God forgives and forgets our sin. So we see that number of people that did not listen to God's words, falling into excess again. They were greedy and gathered more than the God had told them to. This seemed like a good idea at first, but then they noticed that the extra manna began to rot and smell. Soon the manna was full of worms. The people realized that they should have listened to God. There was another way that God wanted the people to remember him. He told the people that seventh day of the week would be a day of rest. So they were stopped working on this day and make it special, a day to remember God. This was a holy day set aside for God, and it was to be called the Sabbath day. There would be no manna on the ground on the Sabbath day. Instead, God told the people to gather extra manna the day before the Sabbath and prepare bread precisely for the Sabbath. Unlike the other days, extra manna did not rot and fill with worms. But once again, some of the people did not listen to God. They did not gather extra manna on the day before the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, they came to gather manna, but there was none. But God cares, and then he carries us again. For many, many years, God would provide manna and quail for Israel people. To help them remember this in the years to come, God told Moses to put some of the manna in a jar to keep and keep it in their packs as they traveled onto the promised land. That manna did not rot. In fact, it stayed in a jar for many, many years, according to the scripture. To me, the majority of the stories of the Old Testament also shows a similar and repeated pattern. People do evil in the eyes of God. People are given into the hand of their enemies and cry out to God. And God somehow raises up a leader, and the Spirit of God comes upon the leader. And the leader manages to defeat the enemy, and the peace is regained. Once peace is regained, Israel does right and receives God's blessings for a time. But mishap occurs and tendency to transgress appears once again. In every age, for numerous causes, that it can be through the scripture that God always left a blueprint for his people to follow. Here, today, I'd like to focus on manna as God's blueprint. God told Moses to put some of the mannas in a jar and keep it in their packs as they traveled onto the promised land. The Bible illustrates that manna did not rot for generations. So let's see what is manna in the scripture. Verse 15 states that the manna was a strange and mysterious substance at first to the Israelites, and they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." Manna came down and descended from heaven. Manna was a gift and it was given to Israel freely and it cost them nothing. Manna was given to all, to poor as well as the rich. Manna was given equally to the Israelites and they had all certain of certain measure, not one more than another. In equal distributed measure, the manna could sustain human life. Analogically, that's the Jesus can be considered the manna, God's final version of himself. We can find matching scriptures from New Testament describing Jesus as a spiritual manna. Let's see, Timothy, next chapter, next slide, please. 1 Timothy 3:16, beyond all question, the mystery from the true godliness springs is great. He appears in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. John says 4:10, Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God, who'd that ask you for a drink? You'd have asked him and he would have given you the living water. Let's see the John 6:35. Then Jesus declared, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. That's right. Christ is sent to all, to Jews and Gentiles, to small as well as the great, to the poor as well as the rich. None are excluded in equal measure. All believers have their equal share in Christ. Furthermore, God's bigger and deeper plan is imprinted in Jesus. More than physical food, Christ is food for the soul. Where manna corrupted and decayed, Christ, as a true manna, is incorruptible and abides forever. Those who ate the manna in the wilderness dead, whereas those who eat spiritual manna shall never die. It says John 6:50. Thank you, Bob. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. So it clearly said that we will not, you know, whoever will eat spiritual bread will not die. I recommend you all to read John chapter 6 today to understand the principles of Jesus being a spiritual manna. And I think the key verse is that verse 35. Bob, can you go back to the previous slide? I'll read it again. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So in other words, Jesus is the only manna we need in any and every level of situation of life, of our life. That means that you can depend on him in any crisis or emergencies. Nothing is too small or insignificant for him to take notice and be available to you. So we all know that the story when Jesus fed the 5,000. And I always wondered why the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Why does Bible specify the exact amount of leftover? And why didn't people hoard as much as they could in their pockets? I came to understand that people might not need to hoard extra as they were fully filled up physically and spiritually by being with Jesus. Perhaps daily manna was enough for them. For me, the rotting manna analogy is just as a crucial message. When we gather and hold away more than we need for today, when we sway to excess, we and others suffer. The state of the world today is evidence of this like global warming, food shortages, and excessive behaviors to planet. Somehow we all notice that the rotting mana moment during the coronavirus lockdown. There was panic buying, which was unnecessary, but it happened. People with fear buy things more than enough for themselves and leaving empty shelves for others. But we've seen the TV as to how much unused food has been thrown away. And it is true that no one can eat that decayed food afterwards. Personally, I've never imagined to receive so many toilet rolls as a present in my life. And the thing is that the virus doesn't put you more time in the toilet than usual. So why the excess? Of course that we do get stressed by immediate difficult circumstances as did the Israelites in the wilderness. The absence of God in our lives means that we are without the necessary spiritual guidance and support. Now, let me share my short anecdotes. Throughout summer, probably some of you know that my dog suffered with many dangerous seizures and ended up having a form of brain damage. When he was hospitalized without insurance, me and my son cried out a lot together. As we were so scared of losing dog, but somehow we ended up praying together to God. Especially the last month, we were told to put down our dog as one of the options. My son Eugene panicked so much and attacked me verbally as I decided to keep him at home without agreeing to further tests and treatments. Eugene thought dog would die immediately if he wasn't put in another hospital for treatment. I prayed in front of my son and dog, and thank God for Milo's time with us. Eugene stormed out of the room and telling me such prayers were not working at all. I've had all three issues I mentioned above, that my huge vet bills and dog's critical health issue and spiritual battles, so many spiritual battles with my son. Strangely, I was calm and peaceful. Guess what? I can tell you gladly that my dog is now gaining weight gradually and running again around the park. I'm not bragging here about some certain level of a recovery of my dog. The real miracle was that God gave me the peaceful mind, and I trusted God, and most importantly, I did not panic with fear. Instead, I prayed to God for help. I've told Eugene that it is who created me and you and dog as well. If Milo's time with us is enough, then God will take him. All we can do is just trust God. Now Eugene stopped complaining about my prayer to God, but still asking his pending birthday money gift from me. It might be still difficult for him to understand, but he seems relieved and happy to see his dog's sudden recovery. I pray that Eugene would remember Jesus' name and pray to him when he finds himself in such a difficult situations in his life. Of course, like Eugene, like me at the beginning, we get so hyper-focused on our immediate needs and emergencies that we completely lose sight of the big picture of God in our story. We believe the good news of the gospel that Jesus came and died for us and gave his body and blood for the forgiveness for our sins. And we are, at that moment, given eternal life. If he has given you the eternal life, you are in a crisis that requires immediate help, you can count on him whenever you seek him. If he has promised you to care of you for eternity, why would he not take care of your immediate need when you ask him? Why would he not give you the manna you need to sustain your life right now? Let's think about that. In addition to the decayed manna, God also wants us to beware the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees in Matthew 16. Bob, can you put the next slide, please? Thank you. When we are filled with a pride, you blow things out of proportion. All of a sudden, the little things get you really upset. And wherever you find a conflict anywhere in the world, pride is always involved. When you're filled with a pride, when you have the yeast of Pharisees, guess what? You can see your life clearly. When you are possessed by pride, you can see what God is doing in your life. That's why Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and Sadducees for their hardened-hearted mindset. If they had not had an evil attitude and had believed the scripture, they would have been able to see, to discern the signs of the times and realize Jesus is the Messiah. Some of us may now worry about the finances, health issues, or spiritual battles during this pandemic time. But let me ask you this question to you all. First, are you eating your spiritual bread daily? Number two, are you holding the soon-to-be decayed manna in your pocket? Or are you the one sprinkle your own thoughts and pride over the daily manna so that you do not taste the truth and so you cannot see Jesus in front of you? Church, let's eat daily bread of Jesus, not decayed manna, not the self-based manna. Hence, we can live confidently without fear and worry and pride. I found the assuring words from Hebrews and Matthews that God will help us to overcome any kind of fear when we embrace the divine truth. So God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is with me. I will not fear. And Jesus said to us in Matthew, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about the life. Whatever you eat or about your body, what you'll wear, life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, but God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Lastly, I need to thank God that he gave us a perfect day of remembrance service for today's message. Today is last week was a remembrance day to remember the people who have died in wars. In the same way, let's remember Jesus who came to save the world from sin by dying on the cross and risen again for us to be a living hope. Let's ponder God's love through Jesus Christ now and every day. Let's remember God's steady, fast patterns of love. God cares and God carries us. God promises and he performs a miracle for us. He forgives and he forgets our sin. He commands us and he completes us in Christ. I know we are all in the wilderness. We will see Jesus if we give our worries away. And we will find Jesus if we give let go of our pride. Now, is Jesus allowed to guide you on this journey that has no roadmap or blueprint to follow? When Jesus guides you, let's tell Jesus everything about your fear, devastation, loneliness, loss, and uncertainties in our lives. And Jesus listens and he hears out, and then he will retell your story, something to far bigger and far deeper, far wiser and far richer than your own story. And he will redirect your life onto the road of hope of eternity. Thank you for listening, church.